Good morning. Scripture this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Excuse me a second. I'll give you a little time to find it. Okay, excuse the interruption. Would everyone stand for the reading of God's word, please? They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we could all be here. And I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive the message you have for us today through Pastor Nelson. It's in your son's holy and powerful name I pray. Amen.
It is good to be together, is it not? As one who had authority, Americans generally view authority with a deep-seated skepticism. We question the source of the authority. We question the limits of the authority. Question the purpose of the authority. As teenagers, we resisted authority. It's likely when you hear the word authority, there may be a name come to your mind or an incident. Maybe it's a policeman, your father, your boss, the bishop. One of the benefits of being in business for over 30 years is I got to meet a lot of people. And one of those people was Dr. Forrest Byrd. Probably most of you don't know who that is. He passed away in 2015 at the age of 94. But he was probably the most incredible man I've ever met in my life. He was a World War II pilot and trainer. And in fact, in the Air Force, when you do those maneuvers and all that stuff, you know, you create something they call G-force, right? It's when, if you've ever been in a plane, when that G-force reaches 5 G's, you black out. And so what he did, he invented a anti-G-force pressure suit that allowed the Allied pilots to reach G-forces of 7 and 7.5, giving them a distinct advantage in the air over the enemy pilots. He invented the first medical ventilator in 1958. Changed, revolutionized medicine ever since then. When his wife became ill with a pulmonary disease, he went out in his shop and invented a treatment machine based on the Bernoulli that ended her life, that gave her more days on this earth. It's that machine that our company represented even today. He has over 200 patents. He was inducted into the National Hall of Fame for Inventors. He received 2 presidential awards, one from George W. Bush, one from Barack Obama. He's the only person I know that has a Huey helicopter parked in his garage. But here's the point. When Dr. Bird spoke, people listened. When we would go to respiratory conventions and we'd be on the vendor exhibition floor, Dr. Bird came to our booth, immediately a crowd would gather. There was no one else that could talk about the cardiopulmonary system like Dr. Bird. For those of you, that's heart and lungs. He was a genius. In our text today, we see that Jesus spoke as one who had authority. So in our text today, you know, Mark continues this quest to answer the question, who do you say that Jesus is? And he begins, as what Dave read this morning in our text, by giving an eyewitness report or review of Jesus' ministry and how he interfaced with the people. Jesus demonstrated divine authority. How so? Well, first, he demonstrated this authority when he called his disciples. This is actually several verses preceding that. But if you look at verse 16 through 18, you see that he's just walking down the beach on the Sea of Galilee. He's just walking, and there's some fishermen. And he just says, follow me. Come follow me. There's no dialogue. There's no questions. And what do? They drop their nets. A little bit further down the beach, he calls two more disciples. There was an inherent authority that Jesus carried. Jesus demonstrated his divine authority by his teaching. It says in verse 22 that the people were amazed. They pressed in. Like the people around our vendor booth were pressing in to hear every word from Dr. Bird. They pressed in. His teaching was different than that of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, the scribes and Pharisees were the respected teachers of that time. They were the educated. They had the respect and authority from people, but something was different. The scribes and the Pharisees were more law-oriented, behavior, outside, external. Jesus' teachings, on the other hand, focused on the internal and the heart. It was a different approach to religion and faith. Jesus' teaching was direct and impactful, suggesting a new and powerful understanding of Scripture. But his teaching was something else. It was as if he had authority. Jesus spoke with inherent authority, almost as if he was the source of what he was talking about. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus taught as one having authority.
But not only did he demonstrate this divine authority by his teaching, he also displayed it in authority over demonic forces and sickness. In verse 23, we see, and this is Mark's just fast-moving account of Jesus' ministry, there was a man possessed with a demon in the synagogue. And the exchange begins like this. The demon says, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? The demon recognized who Jesus was. And then the second question, have you come to destroy us? The demon even knew what Jesus' mission was about. He knew the long-term plan for redemption, and that was to defeat Satan. And somehow it almost looks like he worships. He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demon's declaration was a supernatural recognition of who Jesus was. This is confirmed in James 2:19, where a passage we're familiar with, it says, "You believe there is a God, well, good, even the demons believe that and they shudder." That word shudder there means to be struck with extreme fear, to be horrified. You know, it makes me wonder how a demon could recognize who Jesus is, and yet the spiritual leaders of that day could not. But the stage has been set. They're in the synagogue. The demon confronts Jesus. It's almost like a prize fight where the MC runs out and grabs the microphone and he says, "In this corner is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. And on the opposition, on the other corner, is Satan, opposed to everything that God is about." Can you imagine the hush in that synagogue? Can you imagine people crowding around wanting to see what's going to happen next? And Jesus demonstrates his authority over Satan. He says, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him. Jesus' authority was on display. The demon was defeated. And Jesus' identity as the Son of God was proven. The people's response was to be expected. They were amazed. What is this? A new teaching. Jesus had the authority to cast out demons, demonstrating his power and the arrival of the kingdom of God. But Mark doesn't tarry there long. As you can see, he moves on to the home of Simon and Andrew. And what happens? It's just like a chain reaction here. Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon Peter. And what did he find? Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with the fever. And they told Jesus about him. Well, of course they did. And what does Jesus do? He touches her. And she is miraculously healed. And she jumps up and begins serving her guests. News travels fast. The entire village came to their house that night, bringing the sick and the demon-possessed, because the healer, one who could heal and deliver from the enemy, was there. Just like when Dr. Bird was on the vendor floor, everyone crowded around to hear from the one who had authority. The people gathered from the village to see Jesus, the one who had authority. And verse 39 just continues. He traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues. You know, I had the privilege of standing in one of those synagogues in Magdala, just down the shoreline from Capernaum. You know, 80% of Jesus' ministry happened in the Galilee region. And he always went to the synagogue, kind of the public meeting place, teaching, performing miracles. And yet there's one more demonstration of Christ's authority in our text, and that is to cleanse and restore. Verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion. Pause there. Remember, we're answering the question, who is this Jesus? Filled with compassion, he healed, willing to cleanse. And Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." So we've just walked through two short days of Jesus' ministry. What a demonstration of the authority that he had. His persona, the authority, radiated when he called the disciples. There was no delay. He taught with authority. He established his authority over demons. He exercised his authority by healing a person with fever and cleansing a leper. What a powerful and convincing demonstration of his authority. No wonder people followed him. Now, Dr. Bird got his authority from his expertise, his experience, his education, his achievements in aviation and in medicine. But the authority that Jesus carried was from a different source. His authority did not come from his experience or his education or his achievements. No, Jesus' authority came from the Father. Jesus' authority came from his identity as the Son of God. We saw last week in verse 11, when he was baptized, the heavens opened, and God declared, "This is my Son." Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" John 3:35 says, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands." Jesus' authority came from his connection with the Father. We see in verse 35. Early in the morning, he went out and spent time praying, connecting. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully human. He found it necessary to commune with his Father, probably to get his daily instructions for the ministry of that day, getting in line with God's will. Jesus received his authority from the Father. A little bit of a sidetrack, but I'm sitting here thinking, if there's a critic in the audience, maybe you say, "Well, okay, Jesus got his authority from the Father, but where did the Father get his authority from?" Well, God's authority is inherent. It's self-derived. It is absolute, based on three basic truths. One is that he is creator. He's the creator of all things. John 1:3 says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." He created everything. Truth number one. Number two, he is eternal. He always was, he always will be. Revelation 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." And the third truth is that he is perfectly holy. Revelation 4:8, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come." God summarized this when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush, "I am who I am." God doesn't have authority, he is authority. He had the full credentials to give his authority to Jesus Christ. So Jesus taught as one having authority. Honestly, it would have been easier to close this message right here. Kind of wrap it up with a little red bow, give the benediction. The application piece for us today is where things get a little bit cloudy. The church for centuries has wrestled with, what does that mean for us today? How does this authority that Christ had, how does it connect to us today? Do we have that authority? Does healing happen today? What do we do with demons? Do people have miracles in their lives? And many Christians have been disillusioned and discouraged and wounded because of interpretations and application of this authority and how it's taught and carried out. Theology like God wants everyone to be healed. If you're not healed, you just don't have enough faith. Or if you're a true believer, you will experience miraculous signs and wonders. And because of this theology, we see Christians that are wounded, left the faith, wondering if they're a true believer. Or sometimes it points believers to pursue and seek signs and wonders as opposed to seeking the Lord himself. It creates and causes us to become skeptical. Now, I believe those who preach and teach these kind of theologies are probably well-intentioned. Their hearts are after the Lord. But I think we need to be cautious when we develop theologies on one verse or a specific set of verses, and we need to always look at Scripture from the whole. Our conclusions must always be formed from the whole of Scripture. And so the challenge that we have today as believers is, how do we live in light of this authority that Jesus demonstrated and his disciples demonstrated? How does this authority that God the Father entrusted to his Son impact your faith and my faith? Well, let's begin with Acts 2:38. It says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off." That's the Gentiles, that's us, that's you and me. According to this passage, when we repent of our sins, and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, His Holy Spirit lives in us. The same Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus on the day of His baptism. Again, referring to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," says Jesus. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, as surely as I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This commission extends as long as we're in the church age. That's you and me today. But I always take note when the word "therefore" is in a passage of Scripture. You ask, why is it therefore? And so you proceed and look at what came before, and that is that Jesus declares, "I have been given all authority. Therefore you, the disciples, you and me, go out and carry out the mission." The word "therefore" is very important in this passage because it connects Jesus' authority with our mission. We see here that Jesus delegates authority to us, his authority to us, for his mission. In other words, Jesus gives us the authority to carry out his command. In business, we would always say that it's disaster waiting to happen when an employer would hire someone, give them a job description, a position, and a title, and then not give them the authority to carry it out. That's a recipe for disaster. Jesus does not do this. He commissions us. He gives us the job description, but then he delegates his authority for us to carry it out. And there's several ways, I think, in this passage we see that Jesus does that. He says, first, number one is he gives us authority to proclaim Christ's word. In verse 22, we see that Jesus taught with authority. Our authority to teach God, to preach God's word, to carry it forth, proclaim it, does not come from ourselves. It does not come from us, the messenger. It comes from the one who is the message. It comes from Jesus Christ. The authority comes from our identity in Christ, from the Holy Spirit living in us. Peter echoes the prophet Isaiah in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You may be sitting here this morning and say, "Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher." But Peter's not talking to preachers and teachers. He's talking to you and to me. If you've been brought out of the darkness and into the wonderful light, You have the authority to praise his name and to deliver his message. On Friday, when I left the church here, I saw there was a couple guys out here digging big holes in the yard. You may have seen that. And doing the good preacher thing, I thought I'd go over and have a conversation and be friendly. And so there were two young men, and we had conversations about dirt and track hose and building. And then at one point, Joe, the one young man, says, "Hey, I noticed on your front sign, you have a question. Who is this Jesus?" I said, "Yeah, that's right. We're doing a sermon series on that." And he looked at me and he said, "How do you answer that?" I have to admit, I was a bit taken back. The conversation went from dirt to Jesus pretty quickly. And in my moment of pause, I thought, well, you know, he's the Son of God. He's fully human. He's fully man. He came to earth born of a virgin. He suffered, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, is sitting at the right hand of God. But then when I answered, I said, he's my Savior. He saved me from eternal damnation. His blood spilled on Calvary washed my sins away and made me righteous in his sight. We all have that testimony. If you know Jesus today, we all have that testimony. I would ask you, how would you answer that question? How would you answer that question today? Who do you say that Jesus is? Would you come up with a theological, mechanical answer? Or would it be personal? I challenge you to do that, to go home today, tomorrow, this next week, and write your testimony out. We all have one. We all can stand here at this podium on Testimony Sunday. Because if you know Jesus, you've been given authority to proclaim the good news. Secondly, we've been delegated authority to represent Christ's kingdom. Jesus announces the arrival of the kingdom of God in verse 15. As believers, we are given authority to represent the kingdom, to be ambassadors of Christ. Our business was an authorized distributor of Dr. Bird's products. We spent many days and hours at Sandpoint, Idaho, at his compound, having our service people trained, having our salespeople trained, so that we could accurately and effectively communicate to our customers of his product. We were given a certificate of authority. No one else could do that, but we had the authority to do that. It was given to us by Dr. Bird himself. Paul says in Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 20, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We represent him as though God were making his appeal through us." If you know Jesus Christ today and you claim him as Lord, he has given you authority to represent him and to represent his kingdom. Thirdly, he has given us authority over spiritual opposition in Jesus' name. In verse 26, we see that Jesus casts out demons. His demonstration of authority over the powers of darkness. Later in Jesus' ministry in Luke 10, we see that the Lord sends out 72 people to go make disciples. And they go from town to town, and sometime later they come back. And in verse 17 it says, "These 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" Those disciples carried the authority that Jesus delegated to them, the powerful name of Jesus, which we sung about this morning. I think it's interesting in verse 19, Jesus gives a powerful warning. He says, Verse 19, Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So there he clearly states, I have given you this authority, the authority that the Father had given to him. And then in verse 20, he gives a warning. He must have detected the disciples were just a little bit too excited about having that control or power. And he says, be careful. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, keep your eyes on the Savior, not on the miracles and signs. Keep your eyes on the Savior. That's the important thing. How do we deal with that spiritual dimension in our lives? Do we believe that demons exist? Are we afraid of demons? I have to share a story. Last November, there was a young Christian family that came to Kim and Randy, and they asked them if they would come pray over their house. There was strange things happening there. They were being harassed by an evil presence, voices and music coming from the attic, misplaced objects and missing objects. And most concerning was their young daughter was being terrorized by a monster. And so Kim and Randy asked if Kim and I would accompany them in this. And, you know, this is not for our glory. This is for his glory. We don't know much about this in our culture other than what I read in Scripture. And so we asked the prayer team to pray when we met with that family. And we invited the young couple to fast with us the day before. And so we went and we began praying. Well, first we had a time of confession and just declaring the authority of in Jesus' name. And then we started in the attic and prayed through every room, all the way down through the house, into the basement, around the perimeter for several hours. We didn't really know what we're doing other than declaring the name of Jesus. The power, the authority in the name of Jesus. The testimony even today is that their home is at peace and that those harassing events are no longer happening. There's power in the name of Jesus. We have been given authority over demons, over the demonic forces, the darkness of darkness. Jesus delegates authority to his followers to overcome spiritual oppression in opposition. And then lastly, he gives us authority to participate in Christ's healing and restoration work. This is a challenging one because we've heard theologies that, you know, we must be healed, and if you pray and you're not healed, there's guilt. And I understand all that confusion. Here's what I want to encourage us this morning. We are not God. He is. He's given us his authority. We need to be obedient. And when we see people that are sick, I would encourage us just to pray for them, to pray healing over them. The outcome is up to God. It's not us. James 5 says, if anyone is sick, call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are not asked to perform miracles. We are asked to call on the one who performs miracles. As an authorized distributor of Dr. Bird's products, we were not expected to invent and create new machines. We were asked to represent what was already created. I would encourage us to take the risks. Somebody's hurting, don't delay. Just say, can I pray with you? The James passage says, you know, call an elder, but if you're a mature, maybe you need to call and contact another believer who's mature in the faith, do it. gather. It happens here in our church, and I'm so thankful for that, but it could happen more. Someone is sick, and we all have things. But this ministry is also about restoration. It's about forgiveness and forgiveness of sin, and it's a spiritual restoration as well. It's just not physical. And so I'd ask that you would take the plunge, take the risk. Pray for healing. Pray for restoration. We don't control the healing. We serve the healer. We must always remember that in this authority that's been delegated to us, that it comes from our relationship with Jesus, our identity with Jesus. He is the one who's given us the authority. So I asked the question this morning, are you and I living in this authority that Jesus made available to us? Or have we shrunk back because we feel like we are not good enough or qualified to proclaim His word? Are we intentionally representing God's kingdom, or are we hesitating, questioning if we have the right or the position to do so? Do the powerful forces of darkness scare you? Do you lock yourself in your safe house hoping to keep evil at bay while those within your reach are suffering? Are you willing to bring Christ's ministry and restoration to hurting souls? Or do you cower at the thought of looking foolish because God didn't answer the way you prayed? Brothers and sisters, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He did not give us the Great Commission without the authority to carry it out. If you are a Christian, God has delegated His authority to you to complete His mission. Let's pray. Father, You are a good God. You love us. And You have given us all that we need to carry out the mission that You've given us, commanded us. I pray, Lord, this week, even today, that we would walk in that authority, trusting You in humility, recognizing that You are the miracle worker. We are Your agents. We are Your ambassadors. May You be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.